Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
The Hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Rohde should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Rohde may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Rohde, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Should we do prediction?
Sure.
35-30 Bengals. Oh, it pains me to say.
I've got the Bears winning this game 31 to 27.
The Bengals, it's going to be a shootout, and I think that the Bears lose in a shootout. Bengals 35, Bears 34.
Charlie Jones going to play it from just inside his end zone. Jones has his seam. Jones, 30, 20, 10, touchdown, 99 yards to get the party started.
Folks, put your seatbelts on. This could be a bumpy ride.
They go end around. Moore's going to toss it and into the end zone to a wide open Williams. Ben Johnson goes even deeper in his bag of tricks. Flacco puts a nail under it, far side. Higgins, just crazy catch for the Cincinnati touchdown.
As Bazin gets Caleb Williams, that's his second catch of the day.
The real deal. This is coming from a pure blunt.
DJ Moore, he's got Loveland blocking. Moore trying to pound his way to the end zone. He's knocked out short. Unsuccessful challenge by Zach Taylor. They have ruled a Chicago touchdown by DJ Moore. McPherson lines up, looking for the bounce. Football live. Who's got it? I think Hugh Blakeman says Bengals ball. This is unreal. Second and goal. Flacco, end zone, touchdown. Yossi Vosh. Joe Flacco bringing the Bengals back from the dead.
Someone once told me time is a flat circle. Everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over.
Williams slings it. Williams, Loveland, bangs off his man. He's going to score. Home, Colston Loveland in a jaw dropper. And the Chicago Bears survive a career day from Joe Flacco in a thriller.
Good, better, bad.
Good, better, bad.
Never let it rest.
Never let it rest.
Good, get better.
Good, get better.
Better, get better.
Better, get better.
Better, get better.
Better, get better.
Bears on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Bears.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That was outstanding, Robbie Triano, and a good summary of trying to go on that roller coaster that was the thriller of a Bears game. I had to do it. I had to do it. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Let's tell you right now, we're taking your calls. 312-644-6767 at 1045. We'll do it again at 1245. You can hang out with us on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. And as we try to figure out what we wanted to say about what to take away from that absolutely wild game, I think for me, the biggest thing was the Bears don't win that game last year. They don't win that game for the last 5 years. I think you'd have to go back to 2018 for the last year that you would think a Bears team would survive like that and be able to advance. The Bears have not survived and advanced, but they do in this case in that 47-42 thriller. Asking a Bears team to score 47 points is not something that I thought I would say with any type of level of success, but that's exactly what happened. Once again, they outlast Joe Flacco this time around. Unlike 2023, where he threw 200 yards in the fourth quarter against them with the Browns. And at least this time, they're able to just win. The rest of it, I understand, offended a lot of people. Defensively, special teams, offensive construction, some of the plays by quarterback and the like. But we get to talk about this with a W. The lessons are going to be a lot easier to teach this week to the team. You feel better about what you saw. You have something to hang your hat on somewhere if you're on the Bears, or at least if you were looking for something in the game that gave you some hope. But number one, job is to win. And they just wouldn't have won this game in previous years.
I completely agree with you on this team last year. What? Not sniffing this. I think it's remarkable that in one score games this season, the Bears are 4-1 now. That says something, because we know it is a one-score league. It is designed to be a league filled with parity, and it usually does come down, maybe not to the final, minute, but to the final minutes of a game, and this is an extreme version of that. The Bears gave up 42 points, the most points they've ever given up in a win in franchise history. Like that says something right there, what type of performance this was. And for me, it's about survival. Every week, you watch your team play, and can your team survive a defense, an offense, a strategy, a scheme, mistakes. And yes, the takeaways are still +3 on the takeaways, 3-0. That you wonder what would happen if the takeaways didn't exist in this particular game. But you don't have to worry about that, because everybody befalls certain points of their season. The Packers lost to the Panthers yesterday. The Lions lost to the Vikings. Like, you have to understand what the NFL is, and understand just to survive every week is something to be celebrated, no matter how ugly or ridiculous it looks. And yesterday's game was ridiculous.
It was a ridiculous game. There's no way to explain that. That's what I was saying in transition. Like, I can't wait to watch the game again, knowing what happened, so I could just kind of settle down and take it in and take a few deep breaths. I got to tell you, I don't like the fact that the bar is set at that the proper headline is indeed, you're correct, that these are games the Bears would not have won in past years. I don't like that that's where we are and that's what our takeaway is, but it is true. Remember last week, guys? I had.
It just hasn't happened. You're like, I don't know where they are. And I'm like, we don't talk about these games with wins attached.
Right, right. That's where we are in Chicago.
It's new. It's scary.
Yeah, we're talking about games. My God, we know that. Last year, this game would have ended after the Yossi Vosh touchdown. It would 42-41 would have been the final score. The Bengals win on the onside kick, which I did put down as a death drive, by the way. That was a death drive. The onside kick recovery goes off of Daniel Hardy.
It didn't even go 10 yards. They started the game with a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Charlie Jones.
If I had told you any of those things happened, the Bengals scored 15 points in 49 seconds. Don't lie to me. You know that you wouldn't think I was talking about a Bears win.
Cincinnati at 500 yards of off, or 495.
People are
of
offended
total offense.
Still by the defense.
Well, you should be a little bit.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to. Here's what happens. Something like some big takeaway we have. They think, oh, they're just going to talk positively about the team. No. And if some negative happens, then people think, oh, you're just going to talk negatively. No. Like, you can talk about all of this. But the bottom line is, they won.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny you say that. As I mentioned, I went to Revolution Brewing, where they were doing the post game yesterday. I got my car. I said, yeah, I'm going to go out and hang out with the fellas out there. And Olin hung out with us. He had a beverage right after the show. Of course, I was drinking my Diet Coke. And we're standing in a circle with a few other Score folks. And I just said I threw it out there to Olin. I said, what the hell is the headline from this game? Like, where do you even start? And Olin took a few deep breaths and just said, they won the game. They won the game. And that's the bottom line. And that's like saying, there are 5 days where, like, we always talk about every Bears game all week, but this game is truly worthy of a week's worth of breakdown. But for the now, Mars Hall, it's a dub.
I love it because it just shows us where this team is, that you are 8 games in, basically halfway, you know, just sort of halfway, because, you know, we don't play 16-game seasons anymore, but you're 5-3. Something Caleb Williams said yesterday really stuck with me in his post-game press conference. He said, yeah, we got through the second quarter 3-1. I hadn't even thought of it in those terms, because Ben Johnson breaks it down into quarters.
And the middle eight, too, yeah.
So
there's all these different benchmarks during the game.
And you listen to Caleb Williams talk about it, and they know they went 2-2 out of the gate, and it wasn't great, but it wasn't like, we can't rebound from this. But to go 3-1 in that second quarter, that means something. They've now won 4 of their last 5 games. You can kind of not throw away the first 2 games because they count in the ledger, but understanding how far they've come from what we saw in Games 1 and Game 2, and they just continue to remind you, okay, that Minnesota thing was a one-off. Look at what we've done in close games since.
Well, and I don't necessarily know that it is. You know, I just know it to be that game by itself. You have another chance to reassess because you play that team again. But I know that in this case, the Bengals knew how much time they were leaving the Bears at the end of the game. You knew exactly how much time it took for the Bengals to rattle off 15 points. I said it before, 49 seconds. So when you add that to this and you consider that the Bears were able to go 4 plays, 72 yards, 37 seconds, 58 of that 72, Colston Loveland, you could also see that the Bears thought that was enough time. They get the ball back, 54 seconds to go. I can't tell you a time in the last several years where I've said to myself, oh, that's enough time for the Bears to do something. Like, that's the difference. Think about the way halftime ended. You know, think about the way that second quarter went down. That felt like an end of game. And that's the reason. That's the reason you practice this stuff. So many best practices that the Bears are exhibiting. And yeah, I'm not trying to get away from the bad points of this game. You know that I will talk about them. But so many of the best practices that we're seeing the Bears do, there's a reason you do those. Because again, later in the game, it's going to come up. And the best example I can give is just how each team fought to make something happen. You know, there was a missed field goal by Cairo Santos, but the Bears at that point still go 51 yards in 1:09. So they try to get the ball at that point with 1:12 left, and they're trying to do something. And previous head coaching staffs didn't care about that time necessarily. They didn't want to do something in that time. The previous head coaches on the Bears, or previous regimes, didn't think that that was an opportunity. This is a team trying to learn and get better. So you're fighting with those minutes at half. You don't know when those points are going to come in handy. That drive ended with a blocked field goal. The TV broadcast didn't tell us, which no. That's another topic. But here it's listed as a blocked field goal, so that would be the case. It looked like it was when you saw it hooked to the left like that. So
we're not sure. Let's go to break.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they didn't even go. They didn't even tell you they were going to break. They just went.
I thought they were going to come back and show like a very slow mo, several angles, and we'll find out what happened with the field goal.
Yeah. So that if you watched and didn't look it up later, yeah, you wouldn't even know that answer. But point being, they still tried for that field goal. They still used that minute left. So then your quarterback later in the game has confidence to be able to say, oh, a minute? Okay, let's go. Let's try this. And you heard Ben Johnson say it. They were hunting for a particular coverage. Caleb Williams echoed that. They said they had gotten it previously in the game. That's why you run 2-minute drill at the end of the first half. That's why it's valuable. And these best practices lead to results like this.
I love the fact that at no point in this game did I believe, as we watched, that Caleb Williams couldn't move the ball. The end of half is a great example. And when you look up and you see almost 600 yards of offense, you can talk about your 495 all you want, Mark, but 576?
Yeah.
Last I checked, it's a little bit bigger.
Is it more?
The only time the Bears couldn't score is when, A, they missed a field goal, something like that, because they didn't turn the ball over, or B, they were backed up inside their own 20. The two times they punt, it's because they're backed up inside their own 20. Those are 3 and outs. But as far as once you get a first down, we're going somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
man.
Why I said at the end of the game, you guys saw it in the group chat, I said, listen, Caleb's going to go out here and do what he does. He doesn't even need a touchdown. He just needs a field goal. I was very confident he was going to do that.
And now I will give you guys the best example of something that happened yesterday that, to Layla's lead, would not have happened in past years. As a matter of fact, it happened the exact opposite in a separate scenario. And ladies and gentlemen, that is on what turned out to be DJ Moore's 17-yard, or was it a 16-yard touchdown in the books. That was the play where DJ Moore gets right down to the one-yard line, and Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, challenge. It's 41-27 at that point, Bears. Zach Taylor... Yeah. Or no, it's not even that yet. Zach Taylor challenges the play at the Bengals one, contending that DJ Moore had fumbled through the back of the end zone, which would have been a touchback and possession change for the Bengals. Zach Taylor's thinking he's pretty smart. The refs say, no, we didn't see that. But what we did see was DJ Moore scored a touchdown. 6 points. What? So it was beautiful because what? The Bears years ago under John Fox had a situation that was not directly opposite of it, but close. The Bears got burned on John Fox's watch when he tried to make a challenge and then got the ball taken away. Or was it that? I don't remember, yeah, but it was close enough.
Yeah, it was something along those
something
lines.
Something along those lines.
It's all a problem.
Yeah, yes, all a problem.
If they had just let it lie, then I wouldn't have resulted in absolute chaos. It was nice to see the Bears on the other side for once.
Yes, it was glorious.
We're talking about the Bears win and how, well, they wouldn't have done that last year. On Rahimi Harris and Grody, and it's brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. But that's the point. Take your pick and look at the stats and scenarios in this game. And I'm telling you, I would have not said the Bears would have won. Joe Flacco throws for 470 yards with a sprained AC joint and four touchdowns to go with two interceptions.
God.
You're still thinking, well, the Bears didn't win. If that's the case, right? You're still thinking that. If Chase Higgins or T. Higgins goes for 121 yards and two touchdowns.
He was awesome.
Jamar Chase had a quiet 111.
That's a good way to put
it. And you're thinking to yourself.
It was.
It was a quiet, he had a quiet 111.
You didn't see him in the first quarter, basically. Is that quiet?
Seven different Bengals caught passes. Do any of these things indicate a Bears win to you off the top? Like, if you didn't know the outcome?
Negatory.
No, and that's my point. Like, that's why this is different.
The Bears having an interception called back deep into the Bengals territory. That's Kevin Byard. What did he take, 90 yards? The pick six by Edmonds. I know that stood.
Yeah.
I know that stood, but he gets a pick six called back. Like, these augmented interceptions.
What
for
about
the Bears?
Roma Dunze just not having a catch?
No catches.
Not having a catch.
That's almost a headline.
Partly on Rome because he dropped one.
Yeah. So I
he dropped the Cole pat, the trick play from Cole, right? No. What was the play he dropped? Was it the first?
One of them was
didn't he drop the touchdown catch?
Yeah.
It was
a touchdown.
Yeah.
It was behind him a little bit, but he dropped it.
Oh, yeah. It looked like a hot potato.
He didn't adjust.
We later found out there was a play called hot potato, but that wasn't it. But that's the point. We would be talking about all of these things in a much different way. That doesn't mean they don't get discussed. But it's just not very often that you talk about it when the Bears have won.
Yeah, Rome with the drop on the Cole Kmet throw. The big lefty winds up and Rome can't catch it. But again, the announcers did not mention that. They were like, we got to get right to the graphic.
And how many times did Ozzie Trapillo check in to support what I believe was even... I guess it was, 31 personnel at times? Like, it was heavy.
Yeah.
Whatever it was heavy. We want to remind you that you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. We broadcast live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And when we have breaking news, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Ray Diaz and Robbie Triano are our producers. Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. You can call us and text us. As I mentioned, we'll take your calls at 1045 312 644 6767. Additionally, you can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. The Bears won, but an Illini lost. So it's like, how do you split that?
Oh, no.
I still think it's a big Bears win, but I think about the Illini because Chase Brown did not, his day did not end well.
He gets his respect because he played for the Illini, but never mind Chase Brown.
Also, yeah. Olin got to be at the game on Saturday, and that was a lot of fun, too, to see Olin take part in the festivities. All of that said, though, we get to talk about a Bears win. So now that we figured out that the Bears actually won that game and did indeed score 47 points, and your eyes did not fool you, there were a ton of emotions, and including from the Bears quarterback. So we will discuss that, and we'll let you hear it next here on Raheemy Harris and Grody on this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Score.
Listen to Raheemy Harris and Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Overall, just really proud of the group and how resilient they were. There's a number of things that weren't pretty, that weren't clean, and yet I think what you learn about this group through the first half of the season is that they are an extremely resilient bunch. They show up and they're going to fight you all 60 minutes, and they really don't waver.
That's Ben Johnson talking about the Bears' 47-42 win over the Bengals. The Bears are now 5-3. Like me, I'm 5-3 every day.
You're a 10.
No, I'm 5'3". 5'3 every day. They're my record. This is Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. And we continue to kind of work through this. The things that you want to highlight that are positive, the things that you say this team needs to work on them, and you're also just trying to mentally process what you just saw, because that's something that we don't get to watch very often. We certainly don't get to watch a result in a Bears win.
The way I processed that game, because I did watch it back. I was out watching it in public because I wanted to feel...
In public.
No, because listen, I have a friend, Doug.
Shout out to Doug.
Marshall's got a friend named Doug.
And he's from Cincinnati.
He's a Bengals fan and he did not have a good day.
Layla refers to him as Bengals Doug sometimes. And I'm just like, yeah, you know.
Well, you guys were talking on the text line like everybody knew him. Layla's like, oh, tell Doug I said hi. I'm like, who's Doug and why don't
Doug
I know Doug?
And I had the same assessment about the game at one point.
Yeah.
I was like, nice,
yes.
Doug.
I had texted Layla and said, Doug doesn't believe. And Layla's like, yes. And the premise was anybody and everyone could run on this Bengals defense.
Oh, my God.
And that premise was not disproven by the performance yesterday when you, 283 on the ground? Listen, I think for... Doug and everybody else having to watch that game, to see both Bengals and Bears fans out reacting to the final 2 minutes, it was indeed an emotional roller coaster. It was crazy. I thought the game was over when I saw Tremaine Edmonds run back a pick six.
Yeah.
I was talking about, do I need to break out the Snuggie for Comfy Monday? Things got very uncomfortable shortly
What
thereafter.
Did Doug say when the game was over? Give us Doug's reaction. This is what Chicago's been waiting for.
Doug just kind of looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, that's why I'm here, Doug. I'm your emotional support, you know, fan that watches with you. Because I don't have, like, a rooting interest. I want my friends to be happy, though. Doug understood what it was and what it wasn't.
Doug always understands what it is and what it is not, because he's Doug.
Yeah, he's a Bengals fan. So think about the last few years. He knows
offense. Think about
offense,
the last 2 weeks.
Highly prolific. Last 2 weeks, perfect representation of since they went to the Super Bowl, right?
But here's the difference. That's also been here. Like, that's the 39-38 loss and the 47-42 loss, you could also have them here.
It's the antithesis of the problem, though. Because you guys love to talk about what Bears fans are accustomed to, and that is a running game and really strong defense. Well, what Bengals fans are accustomed to is all the offense in the world, all the money invested into wide receiver one and wide receiver two in the world,
and quarterback,
and nothing for defense.
Yeah, and it showed. But unfortunately, it also showed on the part of the Bears as well. I said this before. There were three total punts in this game. three. Like the only defensive stops that were occurring were the offenses stopping themselves. Block field goal, interception, as you mentioned. By the way, did you guys notice who was running back who Montez Sweat had to push away on that interception?
Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco.
That was hilarious.
I'm like, what are you doing? How are you doing this? You're 40 years old and you're the one running back. So it's Montez Sweat, Kevin Byard, and Joe Flacco running
and
back.
Flacco was gaining on him. I want to point that out.
He was.
I want to point that out.
It was very inspirational. I was like, you know what? I got to step up my game. If Joe Flacco's out here with a bad shoulder throwing for 470 and running back a 96-yard touchdown that wasn't, just driving his team down the field again, I was like, my God. God, I need to step my game up.
The worst part about it was he was gaining ground on Kevin Byard. You can tell Byard was a little bit gassed. And then Montez Sweat kind of looks up and is like, oh, you're over here?
Yeah.
And I was very happy that Montez Sweat did not wreck Joe Flacco because I was like, don't kill him.
It was like a horror film. We all saw what was happening. We're like, do you see Joe Flacco coming? And then Montez Sweat looks and he's just like annoyed. He's like, what the hell? Get out of here. And he didn't. You're right. He wasn't very violent.
He redirected him.
That's exactly what it is. It's like, if your remote control car is broken and it's fading off to the left, you just kind of reposition it so it go off to the right.
What's really funny is I initially thought Montez Sweat was running with Kevin Byard out of sheer joy. And then, no, you need backup. Again, best practices did matter. Unfortunately, none of that mattered because was it Chase Brown who got the hand on Kevin Byard? And at one point I was thinking, did the one hand on Kevin Byard ruling him down by contact, was that the difference in the entire game that ultimately swung the Bears ended up, you know, if you thought the Bears were going to lose and drive down the field in 54 seconds or 59, whatever it was, point being, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, that hand on Kevin Byard gave the Bengals better field position.
I did not think
so. And then they were able to do what they did. Like, I was worried that the hand was going to be the difference maker in the game.
At that point, I did not think. It sucked, and I felt bad for McLeod. Nick McLeod was the one who had the penalty on that play. But it's 41-27 Bears at that moment of Byard. So I did not think it was over at that, or that it was going to head in any other direction.
You didn't know that the Bengals were going to retake the lead at some point.
I did not.
You did not think that they were going to score 15 points in 49 seconds?
Yeah, I did not think that was going to
happen. I was worried. Once they scored as quickly as they did and there was an onside kick coming, I was like, I could think of 1,000 ways this onside kick is going to go bad.
But so we're on this emotional roller coaster. We're all talking about the emotions we had watching it. You're telling us, you know, on the text line and on Twitch, the emotions you had watching it.
Yeah, Edmonds, well, right. It was the Edmonds that got...
Yeah, I'm sorry, I said Byard. It's Edmonds, yeah.
Yep.
My bad. There's so much in this game, like, you're just... Yeah, yep. I obviously saw the play. I was just... Yep. And poor Tremaine Edmonds to have it called back. I thought that stunk. But yeah, he was ruled down, so the 96-yard return was not there. So we're all talking about how we were absorbing this game. So then, on the other side of it is how the players were absorbing this game. And Mr. Cool, Calm, and Collected, he admitted, Caleb Williams, that he did have some emotions.
How was the emotional experience of the final 2 minutes or so?
For me or for just the team? For me, calm.
2 seconds later.
Your final pass today, can you take us through that entire sequence?
In that moment, I was a little bit of an emotional roller coaster just because it was around 30 seconds or around that time, and you know, you throw that pass and you want to get in field goal range and get down, clock it, and then kick the game winning field goal. Colston made a great play, O-line block well, you know, threw a solid ball to Colston. He made a great play for us, bouncing off a few tackles and taking it the distance. And so in that moment, it's like Steph Curry with Steve Kerr, where it's like, oh no, yes. So that's where I was in that moment. Like I said, Colston made a great play for us. That's why he's here.
A little nervous he's going to get caught there?
I was. I saw, I think it was 28, starting to track him down, and I was like, let's go, Colston. Pick up the legs and get in the end zone. You've took it the distance.
I do think that he's allowed to have some emotion and talk about it after the game.
I think
it's okay to say it. You won the game. You proved that you knew what you were doing, and you recognized the physical mismatch up the middle of the field, and he was past field goal range when he caught the ball. So all of that was done well.
I don't know what field goal range was yesterday, so I'm gonna stop short of saying he was in field goal range.
The red line on the screen was
indicator. No, because I saw them get to that before in the first half, and what happened next?
Well, we don't know because they never told us.
They never told us what happened. But I will say this about Colston
Loveland. ESPN said it was blocked.
Somebody get Arch on the phone so we can break this down.
No. But the Colston Loveland piece of it, it's like he gets it. And I thought, okay, go down. You're running out of time. But then he got through. And I was like, boy, you better keep running. You're like, you better make it all the way because they were not going to have time. I was very confident they were not going to have time after he got to like maybe the 20-yard line.
Well, and frankly, Caleb Williams needed that throw. That was a throw in the pocket, over the middle of the field, recognizing the physical mismatch that Colston Loveland had on the coverage at the time, and he did not do that during the game as much as I would have liked to have seen. So that was really encouraging. Also, Jordan Battle, he had some questionable tackling that went on. At one point, a butt tap, I think he thought was a tackle. Although, to be fair, did you see that? One of the plays, there was like a butt tap.
I did not see the butt tap.
That's not a tackle.
Is there such a thing as a butt tap?
I mean, he just got a hand on him and tapped his butt. I forget who the bear was at the time. It's in my massive amounts of notes. It's in my massive amount of notes. And then the other one he had was a shoulder tackle. Bro, what do you think a shoulder is going to do on 6'6" Colston Loveland? Like, where were you going with that? Why do you not want to use your arms in that moment when the game's on the line?
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about those.
Listen, I with the Colston Loveland thing, that man was due. And so to know he was not going to be denied, and you saw him after the game holding that ball tight, his game ball, and I was like, yeah, Colston, yeah. What's Tyler Warren doing right now? Oh, he's losing the game. I got you, Colston. I see you.
Feels good. And on that drive, too, like there was a little bit of redemption because he had thrown incomplete passes to Loveland himself and to Manungai, one of which was batted down, deflected. I was like, there it is. He's got to have a deflection, and he's having the deflection at the worst time, and then he redeems himself with a 58-yard play.
It was the Manungai 39-yard run.
And yeah.
I typed Jordan Battle butt taps Manungai, 39 yards.
You butt tapped him.
I was like, that's not a tackle. That's just you being like, good job, buddy.
It's a good old-fashioned butt tapping.
Except you're on the other team.
But.
Yeah, you know what? Good.
I don't think I've ever heard it called butt tapping.
He literally, that's what he did.
We're allowed to make stuff up. We're allowed to do that.
I reverse that word and just say a butt pat.
Let's call Doug. Let's see what Doug thinks.
Yeah, okay. But are you just like, boop? And I'm like, that's not a tackle.
Doug's
are you congratulating
right
him on the play?
Oh, poor Doug.
Yeah, Doug's in shambles.
Should we call Doug during halftime or something?
I didn't know that he was in shambles. I think he has a job.
Yeah, he has a job. He's at work.
Yeah. That would have been us today. That would have been us today if they hadn't driven down the field and Colston Loveland hadn't rumbled.
Doug would be a problem today. He would be a problem for you, would he not? Do you guys do that? Like, were you like in his face?
He would still be complaining about the Bengals defense, much like we're still going to complain about the Bears defense.
Yeah, for everybody who's like, the Bears defense was still really bad. Yeah, we're not saying it was good. Like, go ahead. Go ahead and be offended by the performance you saw.
At least they had the two takeaways, three, but should have been two takeaways. What was Nashawn Wright thinking? Like, so on the Hail Mary play, what are you taught to do on a Hail Mary play? You bat the ball down. He's out here bobbling the ball. Can you imagine if a player had been close to him when he bobbled it and just grabbed it and run?
That was the one moment where Joe Flacco looked like a 40-year-old quarterback with a bad shoulder.
When he went
backwards,
that
was nowhere near close.
I was like, no, Joe, you got to get close to the line of scrimmage if you have any hope of this getting close to the end zone. And sure enough, he was like back behind maybe the 35-30.
I got to tell you, I probably would have done the same thing Nashawn Wright did.
He did go down, though, at least. Like, I was afraid he was going to keep running with the ball. Just go down,
dude. And if you want to be offended by the atrocious, and I mean atrocious, special teams play, be our guest. The ball didn't even go 10 yards before it was stepped on. Stepped on by one of the Bears.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that Daniel Hardy?
Dan Hardy. It was a bad play, according to, and we'll have Patrick Manley tomorrow. Is that our day?
Yeah, but we can talk about it today.
Well, I saw him last night, and he said that when he broke it down, and I don't know all the intricacies, but the headline is that was Daniel Hardy's fault. He should have been not near that ball at that point.
I wasn't on the ball as I was trying to block.
Yeah,
and at that
point, he should have been moving.
Your job is to look at the ball, see where it travels, and then it's your job to move forward.
Yeah, yeah. but he is, as Manley also said, probably their best special teams player, Daniel Hardy.
Yeah, you know what?
That's not giving me any comfort.
I'm just saying, it was a rancid special teams game, and we'll be talking to Richard Hightower about that on Thursday, I promise.
Well, yeah, because apparently he has job security past what most people do in America.
Yeah, I mean, he survived regime change. That's pretty good.
A regime change where there were two games decided by blocked field goals because of coaching points. Like, that is, I would absolutely be cooking on that. But yeah, my point is, if you want to be offended by all these things, you very well can. In fact, you can call us about it.
Yeah.
312-644-6767. Calls are next on this Football Monday. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Raheemi Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Flacco trying to give these guys a shot, fires down the field, and it is picked. Nashawn Wright and the Chicago Bears survive a career day from Joe Flacco in a thriller, 47-42.
That was CBS on the call. Thanks to CBS Sports for that. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And it is also time for your calls. So let's go to the phones. 312-644-6767 on this Football Monday. Who should we start with first, guys? I need advice.
Doug? Yeah, I think we're going to start with Steve in Arlington Heights.
Let's do it.
How you guys doing? I'm a fan, and I got to tell you, we're all happy that the Bears pulled one out, but frankly, the only team that we can really count on is you guys, Raheemi, Harris, and Grody, because you're consistently the best thing that happens to us after whatever happens on the weekends. But now, having said that, I do want to say that I think that Caleb Williams is leaving a lot of his receivers hanging out to dry and putting them in dangerous positions, throwing behind them, throwing too high. And Cole Kmet's injury should be a sign that that's what's really going on. It left a guy really vulnerable, a guy that big, and you can imagine what could happen to others. It's not just missed passes, missed opportunities. It's putting your guys in danger. So thank you guys for all you do. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Well, thanks, Steve, and thanks for being so nice on the call.
And realizing our importance. Thank you.
And being considerate of Cole Kmet, who was, I believe, in concussion protocol at last check.
Yeah, that's what Ben Johnson said right after the game. He said he's dealing with a concussion straight up.
It was a death ball.
That has been a problem for Caleb Williams in his entire tenure. And I feel like, and I'm trying to figure out if it's worse this season than it was last season, because we were so focused on so many other different things. But he definitely left Cole Kmet out there vulnerable. And it was bad.
It's what Troy Aikman was saying, basically. I mean, it's a different version. Troy wasn't saying he's going to get guys injured, but he was saying put the ball in a position that is favorable for whomever the receiver is.
Frankly, there's a couple issues here. And it's another segment. But number one is, if you force him to stay in the pocket, I don't know where he's seeing stuff over the middle of the field. And that's part of it. Like, that was something I was keenly watching, along with our friend Doug. Because that, if you're an opposing defense, you now know that Caleb Williams wants to run to avoid a sack. Okay, good. That's a good alternative process. But what are the reads you're making in the pocket before you decide to run, and how? And the ball to Rome Odunze that got picked off. You know, that was one where, again, that was either a death ball or it was just ill-advised. And you had an opening in the flat with Menungai. You had Menungai open on a shallow route additionally. But we just hadn't talked about these as many times in games because there hadn't been as many people open. You know, that's the other part of it, too. The play design wasn't as good where people got open and they had these mismatches. Let's stay on the phones. I know where we're going next. Frank in Oak Park. It's now a Monday. Frank is here.
Dirty Frank.
Great show, guys. Man, I was thinking when it looked like they'd lose a 14-point lead in the last 2 minutes and lose the game that I was going to break some furniture.
Yeah!
Fortunately, things changed, and we aren't ready right now to put the whole special teams unit on trial for the role in handing the Bengals two TDs. The game involved two important micro factors on each side of the ball impacting the Bears now. Perhaps more important, it revealed a trend for the near future that's key to ever getting back to the Super Bowl. On defense, you're holding on hoping Gordon gets healthy when those playoff squads emerge at the back end of the schedule. You gave up 495 yards, all but 46 of it through the air. But you bailed yourself out with three takeaways and three sacks. Hey, Booker got a strip sack. That's a good thing because with Odabengo in a walking boot, he may be getting a lot more reps. On offense, it's all about the line. Behind those blockers, Manungai picked up Swiss reps and rolled up 176 on the ground. His pass blocking was good, too. And that Loveland pick looks a lot better with that game-winning catch. And with 576 yards you put on the Cincy tomato cans, your offense is now rated fourth in the league in that category. Perhaps the most important thing was that the game showed about Caleb Williams. This is not just a shootout. This is a John Wick Chargers-Dolphins 1981 playoffs hyper shootout where Williams directed a win. This is why you pull out the checkbook for a QB after 5 years and sign him up for $50 million or more a year. Let's hope Caleb has a few more he'll pull out before 27-28 and some playoff wins to make that decision a lot easier.
Thanks for the call, Frank.
Always good. I'm glad he brought up Austin Booker because there's a lot of stuff that's going to slip through the cracks today in terms of what we're talking about. But Booker with the sack fumble. How about C.J. Gardner-Johnson? I don't know that anybody played well in the Bears secondary yesterday, but at least we saw C.J. Gardner-Johnson make a sack, make a couple tackles. Like, he was making plays.
Frankly, I was happy that Dennis Allen thought that he had enough risk that he could take because of his personnel to be able to roll him up to a blitz look, too. That was also very impressive.
No doubt about it. No doubt.
The fact that that was even happening, the play call itself was a good sign. Let's continue on the phones, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Ethan in Crystal Lake. Ethan, you're on with Raheem Harrison-Grody.
Hey, everybody. Big fan of the show, first-time caller. You guys make my commutes up north of the Cheddar Curtain a little bit easier, especially on a Bears victory Monday.
We got you.
So, look, I mean, we had a decimated secondary that just played like Swiss cheese. Special teams was questionable and borderline horrendous. Caleb Williams balled out, and Kyle Manungai, they both put the team on their back to get us a win here. And yet I still see Bears fans say, Caleb isn't it. He got outplayed by Joe Flacco. I don't think that's the case. We didn't have to throw the ball 47 times, you know. Yeah. I think Caleb's making a lot of great progress. I think he's here to stay, and I'm excited to see what we're going with this. But I want to get your guys' take, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Ethan. Glad we joined you on your commute. Yeah. No, I think, of course, we'll talk about this all throughout the show, but this is a work in progress. We know that, and you're going to have to take some steps backward to take steps forward at times. And I feel like when we examine, say, the tape this week, I think it's going to be easier for Ben Johnson to do that with Caleb Williams because they won, because he made the right throw at the time they needed it the most. Now you got yourself into a situation where you had to do these things, but I think the teaching moments will come easier this week.
Well, Caleb had a higher quarterback rating than Joe Flacco, and if you go by QBR advantage, Flacco, he had a higher QBR. But I think Caleb, he had 280 yards,
three TDs and zero picks.
Zero picks, zero turnovers.
Yeah.
And also, he was only sacked twice, even though he did, for me, way too much dancing in the pocket. But he still was able to catch a couple of balls, run five times for 53 yards. It was a complete performance, I think, in that the only thing that still is the struggle, completes only 58% of his passes.
Well, you would not watch this game and say that Caleb Williams is a great quarterback or anything like that. He made a big play at the end of the game. You would say, I don't even know how to characterize the game. Average game for Caleb Williams
A better game than his last two games.
You know what it is? I feel like it's a Masu Manos. It's like a fair to Midland.
That's what it was. That is what it is.
It was up and down. Are things we need to talk about because they're important and you can't get away with them. Yeah. And then there are things that you say, that's how you win a ball game.
It's not a turning point game, but it's a hell of a play in a really tight situation with less than 60 seconds to go in a game. And you say, you hang that up as a star play. You keep track of that. But on the overall, it's not a game changer.
I disagree because moments matter. And in the fourth quarter with the game on the line, he made the play that had to be made. I think it's a huge stepping stone for Caleb Williams. It's a huge moment,
but it's not. This did not change the game for Caleb Williams, I don't think.
He stayed in the pocket and threw over the middle, and that was something he wasn't doing during the game.
Right,
so that was a big deal.
But think of all the times that he didn't do it. That's what I'm saying. And that made it average.
If you're an opposing defense, you can figure out a game plan.
Right, so you need more than one. Like it's a lot to ask for that play, but you need more than one where he's standing in the pocket and makes a ballsy throw down the middle. We did this last year. We collected plays for Caleb Williams. We collected moments. That's what that was. And you could even call it an elite moment, but that's no different than all of the moments that we collected last year with Caleb Williams.
I feel like we're going to do this tomorrow. We'll do it Wednesday. We'll do it Thursday.
Doing it now.
Yeah, that too.
Well, we got to go to break.
But we have to take a break, but we have more calls before we get to Anthony Heron, who is coming in, because Mark Grody and the Take the North podcast is buying us Victory Chicken today.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, TTN. So Anna's joining us, and in the meantime, we'll take some more calls. 312-644-6767. Hang with us on the other side. Rahimi Harris and Grody on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Grody, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.